I really count it an honor to speak to you all today. I just love you all and appreciate this church. And I want to preach to you today what the Lord has put on my heart. And I was amazed at the Sunday school lesson today. Max was gone, and so I had to teach the Sunday school lesson too. But I was amazed when I picked up the Sunday school lesson to look at it. And it starts with commands. Did you read that in your class? I'm going to read it to everybody because that's exactly what my message is about today. And I couldn't believe that that happened, but that's how the Lord worked. Okay, it says, we wear many hats. We are children and parents, friends and spouses, co-workers and church members. We are coaches and players, teachers and students. We live out our lives in homes, offices, and business. Though we balance many responsibilities in a variety of settings, one contrast remains. Jesus, that is Jesus Christ, he touches every piece of our puzzle. If our faith in him does not impact every corner of our lives, we aren't living life as God designed it to be lived. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity I have of sharing what you put on my heart. We ask that you would just open the hearts of all of the people as they listen today. Remove me from the equation. And you speak through me. I ask it all in your wonderful and precious name. Amen. I'm going to do this in a little different way, okay? It'll be the same subject, but I'm going to look at it from a different point of view. So if you will, turn to Philippians 2 and stand as we read that together. Philippians 2. And I want to read verse 12, 13, 14, and 15. Okay. I'll give you a few moments to turn. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, that's fault, actually, without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You may be seated. Now, Paul here is the one speaking, teaching, and he's not saying that we have to work for our salvation, for he is speaking to people who have already been saved, okay? They are referred to as beloved and sons of God. He is saying now that God has saved you, and he has saved you for a plan. He has a plan in your life now that you belong to him, okay? But it's up to you, us, to find out what that plan is, okay, for the rest of our life. He has a path for you to walk, and you have to find out what that path is. And we should do that, he says, with fear and trembling. It really is. We really should do that. Now, we call that our walk with the Lord. It is actually the path that God has marked out for us to walk in our lives once we belong to him. For now, we are a new person, okay? We're not the same person at all. So our lives have got to change, okay? And it's a new beginning, okay? In verse 13, Paul says, God put in us the want to and the will to, okay? To do what pleases him. He gives you that want to and the will to. Verse 14 says, he tells us how we are to do that. Without murmuring, that means without griping about it, okay? That's what it means, without griping about it. And he says, without disputings. That means without arguments. We are not to argue, okay? If he asks you to clean toilets or mow lawns, then you do it with thanksgiving and song on your heart, okay? Do you do that? That's what he says we're to do. Verse 15 says, so that you will be blameless and harmless. We are to do it out of love, a love for God and love for others with joy. Okay? That's how we're supposed to do what he's asked us to do. And we are to do these things in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. That is a perfect description of where we're at in America today. That's a perfect description, okay? And because of that, those who are not believers are going to be watching you like a hawk. Everything you do, they're going to watch you because they want to find blame. They want to have an excuse for them not doing what they are to do. And so they're going to point your finger at you if you do anything wrong, okay? They're going to be pointing their finger at you. Look at you. Look what you're doing, okay? So you need to remember that. But we are to shine, it says, as lights in a dark world, okay? We are to become lights in a world of darkness that we live in. So the question that we need to ask ourselves is, how do we do that? How do we do what God wants us to do? And for that, I want you to turn to Hebrews 11, verse 6. I'll give you for a moment to turn to that. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now the King James puts that in faith, and the word faith, when this was put into the King James some 400 years ago, meant more then than what it does now. And so a better word would be trust, okay? Because you have to put your life in it, okay? That's what he wants you to do. And that's what we mean, okay? So we are to trust God with our life and to provide everything that we need in our lives, okay? We must believe that he is God, it says, okay? Now, that means that we are to understand that God is to be actively involved in our life. That he is God, that he has something to do with you, and he wants you to be involved. It's what he wants you to be involved with. Okay? Now, it also says that he is a rewarder of them, okay, who diligently seek him, okay? Now, do you know what the word diligently means? It means you really have to work at it. That's the reason he says you've got to work at your salvation, your deliverance, okay? You have to personally spend time doing that. And it says seeking him, okay? And if we are going to know him personally, that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to know God personally. We must spend time with him. Now, how do we do that? Two ways, okay? We have to let God talk and speak to us. And we only have one thing to do that with, and that's this. If you're not spending time in this, you're not letting God speak to you. He wants to speak to you personally, okay? You have to personally learn God, who God is, and what He requires of you. That's what we have to do. The second way is that we have to spend time with Him in prayer. You see, He speaks to us here. We speak to Him in prayer. It's a two-way conversation. He wants to know you personally. He wants to be involved in your life, okay? If you don't know who He is, okay, that's like being buried, okay? Okay, you have to, the word there, know, okay, means know out of experience. It's an experience knowledge that we have to do. And the only way we're going to do that is we have to spend time in this, okay? You have to spend time on your knees in prayer. That's how you get to know who God is and what He wants you to do. Okay? So, now, I got to find my place. Now, because of that, okay, everyone else, okay, the devil don't want you to do that. The devil will do everything he can to prevent you from spending time in this book and spending time on your knees. Everything, okay? He don't want you to do that, okay? Because he knows that's what's defeating him, okay? So he's going to do everything he can to keep you from doing that. Now, it says we are to seek that time with him, and we're to do it diligently. If you don't do it diligently, okay, then it's not going to be done, because everyone else wants your time. Did you know that? Your wife wants your time. That's how she comes up with all these little, what do they call them? Honeydews. Honeydews. Okay. Your wife wants time with you. Okay. Your friends want time with you. Okay. Your family wants time with you. All of these, even your enemy wants time with you, really, when you think about it. Okay. Now, all of those things are not bad. A lot of them are good. They're good things. They're good things. But they're not the best thing. And you can't let them rob your time with God. You can't do that. They're great. They're great things. I have actually 2 weeks ago, my grandson bought down me a boat, okay? He has a ministry. It's a good ministry. He has a ministry in the summertime of having a camp on a lake, okay? And he has two youth camps, two family camps, and a teenager camp. And they spend a whole week on this island, and he teaches them how to ski on a ski boat, okay? Well, now the ski boat, all of this has been taken care of by a man in his church for years and years and years. Well, he passed away. And so my grandson volunteered to take care of that ministry for a ministry. And the boat is in a wreck, okay? The boat had to be redone engine-wise, transmission-wise, and he had all that done. And so now he asked me if I would volunteer to do the upholstery on that boat. It has to be completely reupholstery. You wouldn't believe. I've just got started, but it's robbing me of all my time. That's what I'm saying. It's good, and I volunteered to do that, but it's robbing me of my time, and I am so wore out every day spending time climbing in and out of that boat, and you got to tear all that upholstery out. You got to tear it all out of the boat. Oh, it's just robbing me of my time, okay? So it's good, and I volunteered to do it, but my hardest thing to do and your hardest thing to do will be to say no. There are times in your life when you have to say no. I can't do that. I have never been able to say no. Anytime anybody asks me to do anything, it's always yes, okay? But you got to keep in mind, sometimes you have to learn to say no. And that's very, very difficult for us to do as Christians. Okay, so that's just a story I'm going to tell you about what's going to happen in your life. Because it's going to happen to you too. The same thing is going to happen to you. Your kids will want you to do something that's going to take so much time, it's unbelievable. Okay? But you can't let it rob you of this. You have to spend time in God's Word, because that's the only way you're going to know Him. Okay. Now, remember the story that Jesus tells of Martha and Mary? Okay? Now, what Martha was doing was good. It had to be done. But Jesus said, wait a minute, Mary's doing the best thing, okay? And that's standing at the feet of Jesus and learning and know Him. That's what we have to do with the Word of God. So schedule you a time to do that and do it, okay? And do it. Spend time in God's Word. Now, look at Hebrews 11:17. Okay. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, that's the word tested or tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Now, I'm not going to get into this story, but you know what the story is about, okay? Now, this was Abraham's final test, okay? That was the final test. And that's what really changed his name. Changed his name from Abram to Abraham, because he really put his life into God's hands and he really believed God was who he was, okay? Now, the reason I mention this is that Abraham didn't do that all the time. Abraham failed the test a whole lot of times, okay? Over and over and over again. And you're going to fail too, okay? But you got to pick yourself back up, okay? You've got to confess your failure, and you've got to go on and live your life as God wants you to do. And you may have to do that. I've had to do that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. That's what's going to happen. Some of the failures are going to be really, really bad, okay? When Abraham's wife encouraged him to have another child, okay, do you remember that story? Had another child, and that other child, okay, caused so much problems that even 3,000 years later, it is the worst problem that Israel have. Because of that son, that nation is really causing Israel a lot of problems. You know the story, and so I'm not going to get into that, but you remember that, okay? Now, I want you to know this. Once you have the problem and you confess it, and God puts you back into the right relationship with Him so that you can continue to be a servant, the consequences of your sin, He doesn't take away. Okay? He didn't take away the consequence of having that wrong son. They're facing problems like you would not face because of that. So keep that in mind. There's a passage of Scripture in your Bible that says, be sure your sins will find you out. Okay, before you do it, be sure you're ready for the consequence. Okay? Now, when you get a test, it is not God that's testing you to fail. You got to keep that in your mind. God tests you, but He tests you to pass the test. Now, He starts off with a little small test, okay? I call that the charge of the mosquito, okay? That's the first test He wants you to pass, because when you pass it, you gain strength, and He'll give you another test, a little bit bigger, until you finally can face the giant, okay? That's what He wants you to do. Now, remember what it says in 1 Corinthians? Okay? Remember the passage? There is no temptation fallen you, but is common to man. But God will provide you a way to escape so you don't have an excuse. Okay? When you fail on purpose. You fail because you want to. Okay? One of the big things that we are faced with is our desire. Okay? What we want, what we crave, so to speak. There's always one sin in our life that really, really keeps us from doing what's right. And you gotta know what that is, so when you're faced with it, you can flee, okay? We have to flee. And so that's what's going to happen. So that's the way our lives are going to be lived, okay? Now, the Bible, okay, I said all this, really, to give you three different things that you need to understand, okay? There is a will of God for your life, okay? He has a certain path he wants you to do. There is a way with God, which is the way he wants you to do it, okay? And the last thing, the one that gets us, is the weight. There's a weight of God. Abraham was told a promise, and the promise was not even began to be fulfilled for 30 years. He had to wait 30 years to see the beginning of that promise. And because of that, there was all kinds of influences in that time period that got him in trouble. So you have to remember, a lot of times when you pray, okay, God's not going to answer your prayer overnight. We want him to, but he doesn't. Most of the time, he doesn't. There's a wait period, and we have to stay focused, and we have to stay in faith during that waiting period, and that's the hardest thing for us to do. That period of time, it was the hardest thing for Abraham to do, too. Abraham made so many mistakes, and yet he's called the father of the faithful. Because he finally came to the point where he totally put his life into God's hand and totally trusted him. And so that's what God wants us to do. So what are we to do? How are we to do? There's a passage of Scripture that has become really important to me. And that's Micah 6:8. Anybody quote it? Oh man. And what does God require of you but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? Now, there's a whole lot there, okay? You have to do what is just, okay? Sometimes we're got the idea that we can get away with something if nobody's around, okay? That's not the way God wants you to do, okay? The next thing is you have to love mercy. Okay, now that means love mercy for everybody, okay? What happens is we love mercy because God gives it to us, but there's some people we don't want God to give mercy to. Isn't that right? Don't you have somebody on your mind that you think, wait a minute, God, I just seen that person not be saved, okay? One of my big deals is Hitler, okay? Do you know if Hitler received Christ before he died, he's going to be in heaven? I don't want him to be there. I have that on my heart. There are people in our lives that we have prejudice against that we don't really want God to show his mercy to. Isn't that true? You have to correct that. Okay, you have to correct that. So you have to show love, mercy, okay, do justice, and walk humbly with your God, okay, with him. Not ahead of him or not behind him. He wants to walk side by side. And if God's walking side by side, you're going to do what's right, I'll guarantee you. Yeah, so you have to do that. You have to walk humbly with your God. So many times, we get proud of ourselves because we're doing so great. Uh-oh. Can you still hear me? That's okay. We get proud of ourselves, and because we're doing so great, because we learn so much about that Bible, because we do all of these things, we become, what's the word? Proud. And we're never to be that way. We are always to walk humbly with our God. So I'm going to ask the question, how you doing? How you doing? Do you need to revamp your life? Do you need to go back and start again? God will let you do that. Okay, God will let you start again. He'll let you start anew anytime. All you have to do is confess it. All you have to do is tell him. You confess it and change your life. And that's called repentance, okay? You have to repent, change your lifestyle, and start doing what he wants you to do. Okay, that's my message for you today, okay? I think it's a message that we all need to know. So do what God wants you to do. Walk with him, okay? Let him give you the will to do and the way to do it. Do you know what? He'll even give you the strength, okay? That passage in Isaiah 40 where it says, mount up your wings like eagles, okay? He's talking about swap your strength for his. That's what he'll do. He'll give you the strength to do it. You just have to say, I believe. And that's what it comes down to, belief. That's what the lesson in your Sunday school was all about, believing God to do what he says he can do and will do on your behalf. Okay? So, if your life needs to be changed, then change it, okay? Start anew and start doing what God wants you to do. Thank you for listening to this old man, okay? So, God bless you. Have a really good day the rest of the day. I'm going to turn it over to Lanny. Mission message, it was a message for you that's already been saved. But if you haven't been saved, that's the first step. You have to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior. And by the way, that word that is used there for salvation, it's a Greek word that means safety. Safety. When you're saved, you're safe. You're not going to go to hell. There's no way you can go to hell because you're a son of God, an adopted son of God at that. I'm sorry. I thought I was finished, but I'm not. You are an adopted son of God. And you know what? Nobody who's an adopted son can be disinherited. It's the law won't allow it. If you're an adopted son, you are a son forever. So you're never going to lose that position. So don't think you are. You can't. There's no way. Okay? So I just want to add that. Okay. I'll turn it over to you.